Welcome to the Rock Church and World Outreach Center. We pray that this message will strengthen and encourage you. Now here's a message from Pastor Luke Cobray.
Well, if you've got your Bibles, once again, go with me to Hebrews chapter 11. As we go line upon line, precept upon precept on Sunday mornings, Hebrews chapter 11 is where we've been at. Today, what we're going to do is I'm going to just kind of tell you, you know, as a pastor, one of my favorite things to do as a preacher is one of my favorite things to do is come up here and have it all together. Man, I love it when it all just works together. When I've been studying, I've been sitting on it, and then just it's all there. It's all ready to go. This is a message as we go line upon line, precept upon precept, that helps us to determine where we're going to go. Pastor Dan, myself, Pastor Jim, and the teaching team, we can kind of look forward and recognize, okay, I'm going to have this verse, and you're going to talk about this, and we're going to look at this. And so I've had some time to think about the subject and to talk about where we're going today, but at the same time, it's amazing how as I started to write down and think about what I believe that God was speaking to me, I just felt like, you know what, this just isn't my message. This isn't the message for me to preach. And so I put it off to the side, and I labeled it Save for Later. And then I'd start writing something else, and I'd kind of hit a roadblock on that message, and then I kind of come back to this one like it's done, pull it back up, and that's a good message, but I'll save it for later, and come back and write something else out again, and then just hit another roadblock and come back over here. And finally, it was just like, all right, God, I'll recognize that this is not me. And so that's why I say we need to listen to the Word of God, because this is not my message. I believe this is the Holy Spirit's message for each and every one of us today as we look at Hebrews 11 chapter. Verse number 21 through 22. We're going to look at three scriptures today. The title of this morning, soon to be this afternoon, actually officially now, the title of this afternoon's message is Generational Faith. When I look at my life, when I look at my faith, when I look at the things that I stand for God in, I mean, I look at that and I think, you know what? I see prayer requests. I see prayer. We have a prayer sheet there. Every time somebody fills out a prayer request, it goes to the staff and we pray over that. And I pray for people. And I believe in God for people, and I pray over people, and I pray, you know, God will bring people's thoughts to my mind, and I'll just thank you, Lord, for them, and I'll believe, and I'll bless them, and whatever it might be, I'll stand in faith for them. But when I look at the basis, and I look at the foundation, I look at the fundamental of my faith, I begin to realize, and I begin to see in my own life, it's a little bit self-centered. Because I want to know what God's promises are for me. I've got things in my life that I need God to work out for my sake. I've got things I need to know God's direction for me. And I want to know all about what God wants to do in me. God, why am I here? And I begin to look at that. And yes, while I pray and while I believe and while I stand in faith for other people, I think that we can look at our lives and begin to think, you know what, if you were to take an honest and open estimation of your faith, I would venture to say that you're probably in the same boat. That a great portion of your faith resolves and revolves around you. What God's promises are for you. God, I need you to help me get you through this certain circumstance, through this trial. God, I need you to speak to me in my life. You see, our faith has a tendency to want to be focused about us. And can I tell you something? There's nothing wrong with that in the sense that Christianity, as it is a very individual basis. I mean, as a matter of fact, if it's not based on the individual, my individual and personal relationship with Jesus Christ, then it becomes something deeper and we get into another bucket of trouble called religion, in which I attend a service or I attend a group and I just want you to tell me what I can and what I cannot do, and that's all I need to know. But you see, when it's individual, it's about me and it's about God. So it's not bad to have our faith based on or centered on us, but at the same time, I think God wants us to see a bigger picture. Because here's why. Because the faith that you have for you will die when you die. The things that you're walking out, the things that you're believing for, when you believe for you, when you stand in faith for you, when you're going through your faith life, the faith that's self-centered is a small faith. Why? Because it will only exist while you're alive today. But God says, I want you to get a big picture mindset. That I want you to have a faith that's bigger than you, that's bigger than your issue, that's bigger than your moment, that's bigger than your present trial, your present need, your present circumstance. I want you to have a bigger faith, a faith that will last far beyond your existence here on earth. That is a generational faith, and I believe that is what God wants us, His people, to carry through the course of our lives. A faith that is so big that well after I am gone, the people that I have interacted with will carry my faith. The faith that God has given to me. Why? Because it was passed on to them. That is a generational faith, a big picture mindset, something that will last far beyond the legacy of our short time here on earth. And today, as we look at these scriptures in Hebrews, the 11th chapter, we're going to look at three. And we might come back and look at verse number 20 and 21 and 22 in a more intimate detail as we go line upon line or word upon word or whatever we wherever we go with these. But today, I want to kind of give you the overview. I want to show you the commonality between each one of these verses in Hebrews, the 11th chapter. Hebrews, the 11th chapter, verse number 20 really begins for the first time now to shift the focus off of Abraham. We've looked at Abraham. We've looked at Sarah. Abraham, he ventured into a place that he never knew about. They believed in God for a seed. God tested them with Isaac, and Abraham was faithful, and he accounted to God, and we talked about the subjects of testing and talked about the subject of faith and faith's confession and getting on the right path with God. And today, I want to show you the context of what Hebrews 11 chapter is talking about in this subject of generational faith. Hebrews 11 chapter, beginning in verse number 20, it says that by faith, we're still talking about the subject of faith. By faith, Isaac, now we're looking to Abraham's son. By faith, Isaac blessed Jacob and Esau concerning things to come. And so here we look at Isaac as the subject of this sentence. The direction or the point there is by faith concerning things, blessed concerning things to come. And Jacob and Esau are the matter in which Isaac is blessing. Look now at verse number 21 of Hebrews 11 chapter. Now it goes on to the next generation. By faith, Jacob, when he was dying, blessed each of Joseph's sons and worshiped leaning on his staff. So here you see yet another generation in another scripture. Now look at verse number 22. By faith, yet again, Joseph, the subject of faith in all three of these. The by faith, Joseph, when he was dying, made mention of the departure of the children of Israel and gave instructions concerning his bones. Here you see a faith that's bigger than Father Abraham. Abraham, the founder of faith. Abraham, the one that stepped out, that went to the uncharted, the unknown territory. Abraham carried the faith, but here we see there's a faith of Abraham that was carried to Isaac, then Isaac to Jacob, and Jacob to Joseph, and Joseph to the children of Israel to create a legacy of a generational faith that lasted well beyond the life of just one man. Big picture faith. God wants us to see big picture faith. Because ultimately we understand our life here on earth is not all about us, but our culture creates a self-minded approach. Apple was brilliant when they named their products the iPad, the iPod, the iMac, the iPhone, the me, you know, all the different things, the MySpace. That's not even a website anymore. But you see, our culture wants to create this identity that's all wrapped up in me. But we realize within the grips of God that our life is not about us, but rather it's something bigger than just us. A generational belief, a generational faith. You see, what is faith? If we were here, if you were here in January and February when we discussed what faith is, simply put, faith is a persuasion. It's a firm persuasion. It's a conviction based upon what you have heard. It's simply what you believe. And God says, I want you to take your beliefs, your convictions, your persuasions, the things that you stand on, and they need to be bigger than you, because if they're not bigger than you, when you die, they die. And God says, I want a bigger picture faith. And here we see generational faith at work from Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, to Joseph. And each generation did something for the name of God. Something for the name of God. And I want to look at the subject of what the Bible talks about of generational faith. Understanding where we are and who we are in God through generational faith. Generational faith is always, the basis of generational faith is always the past. The foundation of generational faith is built upon the past. You see, God spoke to Abraham. God gave Abraham a promise. Abraham, listen to me. Get out of the country of your fathers to a place that I will show you. I will make you a great nation. I will bless those who bless you. I will curse those who curse you. In you all the nations of the earth shall be blessed. Abraham, in your descendants shall be like the stars of the sky and the sands of the seashore. God gave Abraham a promise. And Abraham lived out his life according to that promise. And because of Abraham living out his life, Isaac's faith was built upon Abraham's success. And Jacob's faith was built upon Isaac and Abraham's success. Joseph's faith was built upon Jacob and Isaac and Abraham's success. You see, generational faith is built on the basis of it is always the past. We're looking at the story of Jacob blessing Esau, or excuse me, Isaac blessing Jacob and Esau, and Joseph, excuse me, Jacob, there's so many names, Jacob blessing Joseph and his sons, Ephraim and Manasseh. Let's look at Jacob's blessing to his grandsons and his son. In Genesis, the 48th chapter, verse number 15, Jacob here is blessing Joseph. The Bible says he's blessing his grandchildren, but he's actually accepting Joseph's children into his, as his own. These two children become part of the tribe of Israel. And as Joseph wants Jacob to bless his older son, Jacob kind of crosses hands and blesses his younger son. And there's some background to that, and we'll get to that maybe another day. But look what Jacob says to his grandchildren and to his son. It says, as he blessed Joseph and said, verse number 15, God, before whom my fathers Abraham and Isaac walked, the God who with all my life, the God who has fed me all my life long to this day. Look what he says in verse number 16. The angel who has redeemed me from all evil, bless these lads. May my name be named upon them and the name, listen to this, of my fathers Abraham and Isaac, and let them grow into a multitude in the midst of this earth. But look what Jacob was saying to his grandchildren in verse number 15. He says, God, who was there from my granddad and my dad, God, who was there, who my dad saw, who had a vision, who was confirmed, who literally had victories of his own, the God who spoke to my grandfather, this God who fed me all the days of my life. Now may this blessing, may this God, may this faith be upon you. You see, Isaac walked in Abraham's faith. Jacob walked in Isaac's faith. Joseph walked in Jacob's faith. You know, I remember there was a time I was just a little kid. I was totally clueless in the church and, you know, just doing my own thing. And mom and dad, Pastor Jim and Pastor Deborah, took a bunch of church leaders, Barbara Harworth and some of the other pastors of the Rock Church and World Outreach Center, to a Jinx Lake up in the mountains. And there they all talked and they got together and they said, you know what? We don't have any more money to let this church is either going to keep going or it's going to shut down because we got to get in faith. And they made a decision right there to keep pressing on, to keep going on. And they shared that story. They told that story. You could see the heart of faith coming out of them. And as you can see, when they got up to that moment in Jinx Lake and they said, this is many years ago, they said, you know, we don't know what to do. We're either going to stop or we're going to keep going. We are still here today. That is a victory in faith. And you see, as a son, generationally speaking, my faith is built upon the victories of my parents. My faith is built upon the victories and the triumphs and even the failures of what they have gone through. Now my life is founded upon that. The basis of generational faith is always the past. But Pastor Luke, I'm new to this whole thing. I'm first generation. I don't have a past. Pastor Luke, I've only been saved for 2 weeks. 2 months, 2 years, and they've been very slow years. I haven't seen anything happen yet. Listen, the Bible tells you that you have been adopted. You have been grafted in. You have been brought in. You were once on the outside looking in. Now you are heirs and co-heirs with Jesus Christ, which means The victories in the Bible are now your victories. The victories of your brothers and your sisters in this church and around the world are now your victories. The basis of your faith is not just what happens to you, but what has happened to the people that have gone before you, because we are all part of a generational family, the family of Jesus Christ. Generational faith, it's built on the past. But if the basis of generational faith is built on the past, the focus of generational faith is always on the future. It's always on the future. I mean, think about it. What is faith? Faith is the evidence of things hoped for, or the substance of things hoped for. It's the evidence of things unseen. The future is not yet seen. The past is clearly visible. Ever heard that phrase? Hindsight is 20/20. Look back and say, man, I did not see that, but now I see oh so clearly. You see, if we're always past-minded, going to what we did, how did we do things, or whatever it might be, if we're always looking to our vision to be towards the past, that's not operating in faith, that's operating in the past. Faith is future-minded, it's vision-minded, it's always looking ahead to what's coming up next. Amen. Think about it for a moment. What if Isaac would have given up? I mean, if anybody had an opportunity to have daddy issues... Dad, what are you doing? Dad, why are you binding my hands and my feet? Dad, I don't see a lamb. Dad, why are you picking me up? Dad, what are you doing with that knife? Okay, this is funny. Am I being pranked? Where's the cameras? If anybody had an issue or had an opportunity to have daddy issues, it could have been Isaac. Here's a boy. Here's a man. God spoke to his dad. And in you, all the nations of the earth shall be blessed. And Isaac's looking around and he's saying, I only see my half-brother who's got a lot of issues, and I only see me. But man, that God must have spoke to my dad. But you know what? My dad died and he didn't see that promise happen. It must not have been true. He must have been off his mark. What if Isaac would have given up? What if Jacob would have given up? What if Joseph would have given up? Oh, I had a dream that everybody was going to bow down to me. I had a dream that I was going to do something. I was going to be something in my life. I had a dream that carried on from my granddad and my dad. And then all of a sudden he gets thrown in a pit. He gets thrown in a prison, whatever it might be. What if he gave up? But you see, faith doesn't look at the present. Faith doesn't look at the past. Faith, the focus of faith is always on the future. What's coming up? What's going on? God, you gave me a promise. But let me tell you something, God, if that promise doesn't happen in my lifetime, I'm okay with it because it's your promise, not mine. That's good. And if it happens to my son or my grandkid or whoever it else might be, it's your promise, and I'm going to look to the future to pass on the generational faith, one to the next, to the next, to the next. We looked at Jacob's blessing to his grandsons and his son Isaac. Let's go back now to Isaac's blessing to Jacob. Now, once again, Jacob, he kind of like how he blessed his grandsons, Jacob kind of got blessed in a roundabout way. As a matter of fact, he wasn't supposed to be blessed. He was the second born. But even though as God spoke to Isaac and said the second will be greater, he'll be bigger, Isaac still favored Esau because Esau was the firstborn. Esau, the Bible says, was hairy. He got to wear those low-cut shirts and make him look good. And Isaac liked that. But you see, through a roundabout way, and maybe we'll get into that, and that's for another day, because I don't want to spend a lot of time focusing on that. Isaac blessed Jacob, and then Esau comes and says, where's my blessing? And Isaac realized, oh no, oh no. But he doesn't take it back. He doesn't say, well, you know what, it was a mistake. Let me bless you with what I blessed Jacob with. He says, no, sorry, I gave the blessing away. Jacob's the blessing. And as he comes back to Jacob, and Jacob realizes now that his brother's really mad at him, Isaac comes and he reaffirms the blessing to Jacob. And look what it says in Genesis, the 28th chapter. Isaac says to Jacob, may God Almighty bless you and make you fruitful and multiply you. Look what he says, though, that you may be an assembly of peoples. That sounds like what God said to Abraham. Because look what he says in verse number 4. And give you the blessing of Abraham. To you and your descendants to you, that you, listen to this, that you may inherit the land in which you are a stranger, which God gave to Abraham. You see, God gave Abraham a promise of land, but Abraham died without it. Isaac didn't have it. Jacob walked away for years and years and years just to get his wives. He was away, and then he comes back, and he's a stranger once again in the land. Joseph goes to Egypt, and all of Jacob's family goes with Joseph to Egypt. Nobody occupied the land. Nobody had title deed. But despite the fact that it did not happen in their lifetime, they always looked to the future to say, you know what? If it doesn't happen in my lifetime, it's going to happen in your lifetime. And if it doesn't happen in your lifetime, it's going to happen in your kid's lifetime. Because the promise is not my promise. The promise is God's promise. And we have to be focused on looking ahead. Mom and Dad, they had a vision. The Inland Empire shall be saved. If it does not happen in their lifetime, then it can happen in the next lifetime. Let me tell you, if it doesn't happen in mine or Pastor Dan's lifetime, then it'll happen in the next lifetime. Because the promise isn't mine. The promise isn't yours. The promise is God's. And we as a church, a people, a group gathered together, cannot be focused upon ourselves, on our own preferences, on our own likes, on our own desires, because that is a self-centered lifestyle and it will die with us. But we must always be focused on the next, the future, the next generation. A church married to the current generation will become a widow in the next generation. And we cannot be that. Which means that when we come to church and they sing songs that I don't like, when they sing songs that you may not like, when the lights get a little too dark or they shine or maybe they go back to an old hymn and the young people are like, what? It's not about preference. It's not about song selection. It's not about, well, the mood or the atmosphere in this church compared to that church. Why? Because worship never was about us. Worship was always about God. But what we want to do, we want to take a self-centered, self-seeking attitude and say, you know what, I don't like that song, I don't like that preacher, I don't like that thing, I don't like this, I don't like that. I'm going to go to where I like. And that's great, but the problem is that you'll have a group over here, and 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 you'll have a disjointed, disoriented body. Yeah, and Jesus Christ says, we're all members of the same body, which means we are interconnected together. So you see, there's a vision, there's a drive looking to the future. Pastor Dan and I were talking about, you know, the privilege that I had as a son to have to overhear dinner table conversations. And I remember Mom and Dad talking about this when the church was young, when the church was starting, saying, we need to have a children's ministry that the kids want to come to church. If the parents don't want to come, we'll get the kids. And the kids will drag their parents to church. And they brought in some of the most amazing children's pastors from around the world. My Pastor Mike and Sue Bryan. I remember the youth ministry. The youth, if we can't get the parents, we'll get the youth. We'll have skateboarders, and we'll have this, and we'll have that, and we'll invest in the youth. We'll invest in the children. Can I tell you something? Kids don't give. Rock dollars do not translate to real dollars. Edison doesn't take them. So the investment to the future may not have an immediate return on your dividend, but it will pay leaps and volumes. Why? Because I stand here today. I am a byproduct of Mom and Dad's vision to look to the future generation. I look over. I see my friend, Pastor Joe Valkersell, our young adults, our college group pastor, a byproduct of Mom and Dad's vision to the next generation. Pastor Des, Pastor Dan, I see Reverend Antonio, I see my good friend over there, Pastor Richard Villanueva, a byproduct, homegrown, of the vision to reach the next generation, now reaching them today. Because even though they might not give, even though they might not return, or they might reciprocate appreciation for your investment, you are planting something on the inside of them that someday will pay dividends. That's why the Bible says, train up your child in the way that they should go, and they'll not return, or they'll not depart from it. They may walk away, they may say things that you don't want to say, but you keep investing, you keep speaking, you keep praying, you keep believing, and all of a sudden you'll begin to see that seed that you planted in the ground come out, and life come from there. By looking to the future. Now today, you know, Dad, Pastor Jim, Pastor Dan, they're so good at application. So good at taking, okay, what does this all mean? What does this all together mean? And today, I think more than anything, this is a seed that we should plant in our hearts. That as you plant a seed, you water it, you know, and nothing happens for a little while. It's an idea. It's a concept to say, you know what, I want to do something bigger than me. And as we plant that seed and we begin to water it, we begin to think about it, we begin to cultivate the ground around it, all of a sudden that seed will break out of the ground and life will begin to show and fruit will begin to bear forth and it'll be fruit like we've never seen before. But it all starts by us planting that seed. How do we plant that seed today? The simple thing I can challenge you with as a church, as a people, as followers and people of God today is you're going through faith. You're walking in faith. You're believing in God for your healing. You're believing in God for your finances. You're believing in God for your relationships. You're believing God for your well-being. You're believing in God for your happiness. You're believing in God for your future. To ask yourselves, what can I do about my faith to make it generational faith? Because you're walking in faith right now. But when you step out in faith, ask yourself this question. How can this be generational? How can I share this? How can I give this away? How can I invest this into somebody other than myself so that after I am long gone, this faith, this seed, this belief remains and it grows and it gets bigger and becomes more impactful to the world? We have to plant the seed in our hearts. And that means that we're going to have to open ourselves up to vulnerability, to share, to be real and to be honest with people in our lives, to look at somebody in your family. If you're older, to look at somebody younger. If you're younger, to look at somebody older and say, you know what? It may not be right now that they want to hear my Jesus talk, but I'll say what Jesus said about them to them. I believe in you. I think that you're full of potential. Your life's not over. You may have done this and you may have done that, but I tell you what, I think you have a bright future ahead of you. Begin to build them up. Begin to share them with them. Begin to invest in people's lives together. And we'll share this generational faith, and this faith that we carry that is all about us will become about others. You see, there was a friend of mine. Friend of mine in the church, and his wife and his children are still here today, and a friend of mine was going through a horrific health challenge. And I remember when I found out about that challenge, I called him up and I says, man, I didn't know. I hadn't seen you for a while. And I called him up and I just said, what can I do? And he says, man, I just need you to partner with me and believe. So we partnered together and we prayed. I called him up on the phone and we would be praying. I'd go visit him and we'd talk and I'd get updates from him. And sometimes he'd have good days and he'd have bad days. And sometimes he's in the hospital. But when he would go to the hospital, I would go and visit him. And when I'd walk into the hospital room, there he would be laying on the hospital bed and he would look at me and say, hey, you're here. What can I do for you? I didn't come for you to do something to me. I'm here for you. But you see, he was always, despite the position of his life, sharing the battle of faith, the walk of faith that he was going through. And we would pray together and we would yell at the devil together and we would cry together. And ultimately, his faith, it didn't pan out the way we hoped and the way we desired it would be, because it doesn't always work that way. But I had the honor, I had the privilege of remembering his life at his funeral service. I had the honor and the privilege of spending the moments, the final weeks of his life with him, and to share and just to listen to him even while he was dying, to share his love for me and his love for God. And despite the fact that he's no longer here with me today, I know for one that he's in heaven with Jesus in a far better place. But secondly, his generational faith was caught on the inside of me, and I will remember to open myself up to be vulnerable, to invest in somebody other than myself that my faith might be bigger than me. That is a big picture faith. You see, building for tomorrow begins today. Building for tomorrow begins today. We have to invest today. We want to wait for the most opportune moment. Well, but Pastor Luke, I've been praying that God would send somebody for me to mentor. Pastor Luke, I pray that God would send somebody to come and to talk to me, or that I could talk to them. But you've got people in your life right now. You've got nieces and nephews and sons and daughters and neighbors and friends and cousins and family members and people that you sit next to and people who are a part of your small groups and your ministry connections. You have somebody in your life today, now, and it starts right now by praying for them, by believing in God for them, by asking them, how are you doing today? What can I pray for you about today? So that way when times come, they'll know who to go talk to. Building for tomorrow begins today. We hear about this all the time with the environment. Oh, right? We have to solve today's environmental problems so that tomorrow our grandkids don't have to deal with them. It's all over. It's the hot new thing. We understand the concept, and it's exactly the same with our faith. Yeah. We have to start building the faith that happens when we're long gone today by looking to the future, by investing. What can I do with the faith that I'm going through right now, and how can I make this bigger than me? Who can I share this with? Who can I invest in? You see, the Bible tells us in Psalms 145, verse number 4, it says that one generation shall praise your works to the next. They shall declare your mighty acts. You see, it's not about us and them, about the old and the young, or this and that, or this status and that status. It is about a family together, working together, looking at each other, saying, God has done this in my life, and I'm going to tell you about it. God has done this in my life, and I'm going to tell you about it. And to begin to build tomorrow's faith today by declaring and praising the mighty acts of God from one to the next. Building tomorrow begins today. You see, we have to. Generational faith needs generations. It should not be that the young look to the old and say, they're done. And it should not be that the old look to the young and say, they're dumb. Okay, It should not be that the young look to the old and say, they're done. And it should not be that the old look to the young and say, they're dumb. Because you ever heard that statement, youth is wasted on the young? And you look at it and you say, man, there's so much truth to that statement. As you age and you have wisdom and you have maturity, you look at somebody who's 18 years old, fresh out of high school, and you say, they know everything right now. If I could just do what I know now in that body, I would do so much, right? But at the same time, that's a reverse statement, because that's saying that young can't be wise until they're old. And there's truth in that statement if the generations are divided. Youth is wasted on the young when the old don't want to invest. Youth is wasted on the young when the young don't want to hear. You see, we need each other. Generational faith needs generations. I remember I took a bunch of guys to Convict Lake last year, about 22 guys I took to Convict Lake up in the Eastern Sierras. I had no purpose, I had no rhyme, I had no reason other than to hang out with a bunch of dudes from church that like to do what I do, fish and hike. Cool. It was great. We all piled into a cabin, had a fire, and Elijah and his team, they brought some musical instruments, Elijah and his brother Gary, and we sang some songs together, and we opened up the Bible, and we had some Bible studies together. But I found something there on the inside of me that God was beginning to point out, that on one side of the big, great living room that we were in was a whole group of 11 young guys. And then on the other side of the great living room, on the back, on the outskirts of the group, was a whole group of about 11 older guys. And they were divided in the sense that they were with them and they were with them. But as we begin to share, as we begin to speak, as we begin to look into the Word of God, the young guys were opening up saying, I just need a dad. I need somebody to tell me I can do this. And the older guys were beginning to realize in that group, they were looking and they're saying, I have been through some amazing things in my life. And I believe that I can help you get through the things that you're going through, because I've been there before, and I can lift you up, and I can support you, and I can speak into your life. And all of a sudden, there was a connection between the generations to realize that we need each other. We need each other in church. Acts in the second chapter. Peter's quoting the prophet Joel. Acts in the second chapter says, it shall come to pass in the last days, says God, that I'll pour out my spirit among all flesh, and your sons and your daughters, they'll prophesy. Your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. That's really great. What does that mean? Well, if you look at the Bible, visions are often obscured. Visions are the end result. I see something that's going to happen, but I do not see the journey in which it's going to do. I mean, we talked about the visions of the end time, looking at John and Daniel's visions of the end times. We see what it's going to look like, but we don't know how it's going to really work throughout that process. The end goal is there, but the journey isn't there. But if you look at dreams in the Bible, when Pharaoh had a dream, Joseph came and he interpreted the dream with specific instructions and specific directions. When Nebuchadnezzar had a dream, Daniel came and he interpreted the dream with specific directions and specific instructions. So you see, it says old men will dream dreams and young men will see visions. Young men carry the vision for the future, but they need the wisdom and the direction of the older generation to carry them and lead them through. You see, my dad, as a kid and as a young adult, my dad poured so much vision into me. Times that I didn't even realize that he was saying things. He was saying, this is going to happen, and I can see this, and I built the church for that, and this. And while his age and his stamina, and he might disagree at the time, and that's great, amen. While his age and his stamina, he may not be able to carry that vision any longer. I can carry it. Pastor Dan can carry it. Pastor Jess can carry it. Why? Because we have young and springy shoulders. But we cannot do it without the wisdom and the direction of the previous generation, of Pastor Deborah. Pushing and prodding to change and to evolve and to think outside of the box and to look over here and to look over there and Pastor Jim to remain constant and faithful to the Word of God. You see, the next generation cannot go further than the previous generation without the previous generation. We need each other. Which means it's not about music preference. It's not about style. It's not about white hair or brown hair or blonde hair or any other type of hair or skin color for that matter. You see, because we need each other as a church. The young generation needs the older generation. There is no out to pasture in the kingdom. Let me just tell you, there's nowhere in the Bible that says thou shalt serve God for 65 years of your life and then retire. It doesn't happen. If we could serve God for 65 years of our life and then retire, then we don't need heaven because we have retirement, right? Good word. But at the same time, so there's no too old, but at the same time, there's no too young. Because Jesus took a little child to his disciples and he says, unless you have the heart of a child, you will by no means see the kingdom of heaven. You see, we need each other. There is no out to pasture. There is no retirement. Many of you in this place, you think if you look at your life and you say, I have run my course and I am done. No. Like Paul the Apostle says, not until I have been poured out, not until I am done. That is my retirement date, which means now it's time for us to sow into the generation. What can I do? What can you do to take the faith that you have in your life that you have been living and make it bigger than you? But at the same time, for the young in the house, to not look to the olden ways and say, hey, you know what? That was yesterday. That was the olden times. We're going to do it a new way. Sure, society and culture and everything changes. But to take the wisdom learned and gleaned from the victories of the past, because generational faith is built upon the past, but it's focused on the future. We need each other in this house. And when we have each other, when you go and when I go, if Jesus tarries and we're still here, and everything is still here, and our lives have come and gone, our faith, because it's generational, because it's bigger than us, because it's bigger than you, because it's bigger than me, will be carried on to a greater and a larger audience, to a greater and a larger capacity in the kingdom of God. Why? Because God wants his people, us the church, to see a bigger picture. I mean, ultimately, isn't that what Jesus did? He didn't come to die on a cross because he could have just come and died on a cross in the wilderness and gone back to heaven. Jesus came and he invested. He had invested in people that may not have been worth investing in. Fishermen and tax collectors and all sorts of zealots and so forth and so on. I mean, wasn't it true that on the night that Jesus was to be betrayed, his disciples are arguing on their position in heaven? Isn't it true that Jesus, as he says, I'm going to show you a form of love, and he begins to wash his disciples' feet, he washes the very feet of the man who betrayed him? But you see, he realized and he recognized that he is there to pour himself out, that his faith that he came with, that God spoke to him, was so much bigger than the 3 years of ministry and the 33 some odd years of his life. It was so much bigger because it was a generational faith. And what God has done in your life, what God is doing in your life, is so much bigger than you. And it would be a travesty and a tragedy for us to die and let our faith die with us. But to begin to ask ourselves by planting the seed into the ground, what can I do to make this faith walk I'm in bigger than me? Who can I pray for? Who can I reach out to? Who can I allow myself to be vulnerable to invest my life and my time into them? And it may not happen right away, but you start today by building tomorrow. Start by building tomorrow by starting today. It starts today because a generational faith is a big picture faith. And God wants to take this house. God wants to take your life. God wants to take your family. God wants to take your legacy so far beyond the existence of you here on earth. And it starts by you and I together getting a big picture faith and realizing and recognizing that we need each other. that as young folk, we need the wisdom of our elders. We cannot disgrace that, but at the same time, elders, we need the strength and the vision of the young to carry it to the next generation. And things may change, and they may not be the way that we like, but we realize because we're looking forward to the future, not to the past, that we have got to continue to progress in the kingdom of God. And their generational faith, like Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Joseph, to the 12 tribes of Israel, will grow so far beyond our beliefs, because God is a God who's exceedingly abundantly above all that we could ask or think. So if the promise doesn't happen in your life, that's okay. It's God's promise. Give it to the next generation. Give it to the son. Give it to the daughter. Give it to the spiritual son, to the spiritual daughter, whatever it might be. Give the promise to the next generation and watch God begin to fulfill it in theirs. And if they don't get it, they'll give it to the next generation and watch God to begin to fulfill the promise in theirs. That is the basis of generational faith, built upon the victories of the past, but always looking to the future. By asking ourselves, what can we do today to make the faith that I'm walking in and I'm living in bigger than me? Did you guys get something out of the Word of God this morning? Amen.
Thank you for listening to the Rock Church and World Outreach Center. If this message spoke to you, please share it with us. We'd love to hear from you. You can find more information at www.rockchurch.com.